Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're about to discuss the topic, the political tricks being played in these races. And let me start off by saying we are a media source, and people send me stuff all the time. That said, we do due diligence, is what I'm trying to say, researching anything we use on the show. However, we welcome anyone we speak about or anything we speak about concerning these races tonight. If you have a problem with something that's being said, feel free to call in tonight. Our number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1. But I think I struggle with this show this week because I thought to myself, do we have a right to talk about the things that we see, the things that are being presented to us? But then I thought about Channel 11, Channel 4, Channel 5, whatever the numbers are. I don't watch the news here, y'all. But whatever WFAA, ABC, Fox, CBS, whatever they decide to present to the public is never questioned because they are considered a news source. So tonight, I want anyone who has a problem with anything that's stated to think about that. We're a media source as well. We may not be mainstream, but we're still a media source. Everything that's being presented tonight has been reviewed. We've done due diligence, as I said, researching, verifying everything to be correct. So that said, if anybody has any questions about anything that's stated tonight, if you would like to know where the source was, that I won't reveal the source, but I will reveal to you the information and how to obtain the information. And so tonight we will do that. So we just wanted to clear the air before we started tonight that last week's show came under some fire from some people, and they felt like certain things should have not been said. That said, it's Channel 11, the Fort Worth Report, Fort Worth Weekly, any of the other news outlets had received the information, they too would have the option whether or not to run it or not. So we thought we'd say that before we began tonight. So that out of the way, I see my panel is on the board. Good evening, Pastor Chris. Good evening, Adrian. And
hey, hey.
For good evening. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, hey, hey.
I'm doing good, too.
Oh, good. Okay.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, my brother.
Do y'all agree with what I said, though, that if Fort Worth Weekly or Fort Worth Report is given information and the information has been verified, that they, too, have the option to run it, and so do we?
I believe.
Okay. All right. It's clearing the air, y'all, because last week we came under a little fire, and that's okay, because you know what? We understand that everybody has an opinion, but when WFAA runs a report, as long as the information is correct, nobody questions it. And so the same with us tonight. So, y'all, listen, we're going to start off with this J.P. Race in Precinct 6. We did a show with Khaleesi Lyons about a month or so ago, where she explained to us that she was going to run for JP in that race. And she had made it known that she was going to run in that race. And that somehow they did the redistricting map just before this upcoming election began. And she found herself where her house had been drawn out of her precinct, so therefore she couldn't run. They then found that her opponent, who is Judge Charbonnet, consulting firm, was the party that drew the map. That said, was that fair? Okay, everybody's so quiet. Well, let me ask
no,
you this.
No, you say, Carrie, hey.
Okay.
You say dirty politics. That's what we're talking about tonight, politics. So, hey,
yep.
It wasn't fair.
It wasn't
fair. Yes, indeed.
And
I agree.
You agree? Let me say about Charbonnet. Charbonnet, to his defense, said he didn't know she was running. So she hadn't officially filed, but she had made it known that she was going to run. You know, a lot of people in the circle knew that she was going to run, but he says he didn't have any knowledge. But his consulting firm drew the map. So was that unfair, and should something be done?
It's unfair, one, because his consulting firm basically drew the maps in his favor. So regardless of who was running, regardless of who was going to run, he made it to where it wouldn't be no opposition from somebody that he knew he probably would get opposition from, which wouldn't be his own kind of people.
I understand those maps, too, were very cleverly done it wasn't just her precinct. There were all the precincts involved. But I understand it cleverly, you know, took her out of her precinct to run, but also it was kind of drawn along racial lines, party lines, that type of thing as to who was in what district. So, you know, there was a lawsuit filed behind that, but I just, wonder, like, really, how does something like that happen? The commissioner's court had to vote on the map, and they voted for the new map to stay.
And real quick, Perry, I'll say this. You say he didn't know, but he's in common. Man, you know if you're in common, you're going to have – you know who going up against you. Come on, man. Stop with the word play. We all not foolish, man. You didn't come.
Right,
you fit in the seat. So you expecting somebody to come on.
I agree.
Yeah. And you don't have your you have a paid consultant drawing the map and all this stuff up, and you don't have no idea what you're paying them to do? Come on, we're not ignorant.
Exactly. And I'm surprised that the commissioner's court went with it. The vote was very, very strange. I think J.D. Johnson went with it. Whitley went with it. I think the black female, and God forgive me, I forget her name, she excluded herself from the vote. Roy Brooks, by mistake, voted for it when he said he meant to vote against it. And I forgot who the other person was, but they were also Republican, so the vote stood. Yeah. Torlin Cousin, you're awfully quiet. What do you know about this?
I'm listening to everybody. I agree. You know, I know sometimes we shouldn't always agree with each other, but the fact is that Republicans, and especially white conservative Republicans, are duplicating this last-minute pull-the-rug-out-from-under-you tactic. The very same thing is happening at Fort Worth City Council with the redistricting, where Kerry Moon and three other conservative councilmen ignored all of the other effort and work. And with time running out in order to get the referendum on the ballot, they threw up a brand new map that displaces 200,000 Fort Worth residents and rearranges lines in every single district that the task force and lots of neighborhood associations. I mean, we were really close with a final map. And what it looks like to me is that these folks' networks have taught them, or they've learned to wait till the last minute and spring a surprise when there's almost no opportunity to even study the last version of the map or get good public input. And it's like dropping a bomb, you know, throwing a grenade under the door or whatever. And so it doesn't matter whether Jason Charbonneau is telling the truth or not. The truth is that he wrote this version and paid a consultant to do it like it was an insurance policy. And so whether it was the particular opponent who he carved out, or just, as we well know, he did his best to minimize the opportunity for a demographic different than him to challenge him in the race. And, you know, just today I was at a meeting about the Fort Worth redistricting, and I'll tell you, everyone in the room except for one of the candidates is a older white liberal that lives in the center of Fort Worth, and we're happy in the district that we're in. We like our brown and black neighbors. We know that the demographics are very diverse where we live. It's also 76104, which has the lowest life expectancy. Some of us are very blessed and some of us are not. And we find that nearly all of us got carved out of the district that we've been in for decades and going to get shoved into an all-white district in southwest Fort Worth if we go with Kerry Moon's map, for example. And so I do think they're using computer software. I do think that they're sharing it with each other. I do think the tactic is to let all the meetings and input take place and then go, surprise, you only got one or two meetings left. You got to consider our new map. And I think that what happened at the commissioner's court, there's a lawsuit because it's so blatant. Mm-hmm. Even though Roy Brooks made a mistake and voted for it, he and Devin Allen have filed a lawsuit because of the dirty trick.
So y'all, that's really it in a nutshell. It was Devin Allen, that's who it was. So she got up and walked out. She says, I'm not having any part of this vote. And Roy Brooks got up and walked out, but he hit the thing before he left out, and he meant to say no, and it counted as a yes. So the vote stood for the redistricting map.
I do think this is one of the reasons why Devin Allen isn't running again, And honestly, she was the best commissioner. I mean, she was the most in touch with things, the most modern, the most able to integrate technology to improve the county, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that under this circumstance, she doesn't want to run in a race that she has a very high likelihood of losing. And that, I mean, that's terrible. The people she represents, you know, should be really happy with her as a whole, even conservatives. But I don't think that this is happening just in Fort Worth or just in Tarrant County. I think that this tactic has been duplicated across the state and in other states also. I think it was done on the congressional level. And so they would literally wait till the 11th or midnight hour so that there's little time for public comment, little time for press to, you know, to process it, and little time to, you know, do a hold your horses, let's do a reset and go back to the map that we had consensus on. I mean, that's the...
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead. But to literally be able to cherry pick your thing, something's just very wrong with that. I'm serious. I'm serious. Like, I mean, just the thought of, you know, drawing a map and saying, okay, it's too many Hispanics over here, it's too many Black people over there, so I'm going to draw right around that, and I'm going to put where the majority of, you know, Republican white people are, and that's the map we're going to keep. I just see something very sick and twisted about that. And Judge Charbonnet, I don't know if you did it or not. You know, it just looks very suspicious. But, you know, I'm not accusing him of anything. I'm just saying it's very suspicious. And I just think that some kind of way, seeing what happened, that Ms. Lyons should have been allowed to steal one in that race. But she wasn't. And now I think she's running in Crowley ISD race or something. But I just think that was done in a way that speaks volumes to the process needs to be changed. And these redistricting maps, you know, wasn't it Tom DeLay years and years ago that did the redistricting map? And that's what caused Frost to not win his election and threw everything in a tailspin. And he ended up getting in trouble down the road for it. But right then, everything stood. Do you all remember that?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah,
This is
situational integrity. And honestly, I mean, it borders on, this is what sociopaths do. They break rules, then they apologize afterwards. So that's a pattern in individuals, but this has become a collective culture for some people in politics, which is, yeah, we know there are rules and we're not following them, but let's see what you're going to do about it. Let's see if you have how much fight you have in you. Otherwise, we'll break the rules, and if we get caught, we'll just apologize later.
Yeah.
And so that's what our problem is.
It always comes to an oops, we didn't mean to. You know, sorry if your feelings got hurt. Sorry if we ruined your life. It was a mistake, so move on. Nothing else to see.
Well, that's one school of thought. I have to share with you the other one, and an old school, kind of a longtime mentor of mine that's run a lot of congressional campaigns. Of course, he's older and white and a Northeastern guy. But his philosophy on politics is that politics is civilized warfare, and that there's no shooting and killing, but that it is a war. It is the adversarial, competitive environment, and nearly anything goes. And the problem with that is that modern progressives or moderates or liberals or Democrats in general, for example, they tend to think that it should be collaborative and consensus building and, you know, unifying. And I get that. And that's closer to the culture that I embrace. But the problem here is you can't ignore the fact that they're going at it like it's a dogfight. So do you want to fight a dog fight, or do you want to lay down and let them have their way? That's the problem here. I don't think that the city council members for Fort Worth that have thrown this Carrie Moon map up there with 40 different changes are going to pull the, I'm sorry, we messed up, you know, we apologize. I think that this is a bold-faced attempt to make as many of the districts as white-controlled as possible.
Whoa.
They just don't want to say it. They don't want to. That's right.
They never want to say it.
They don't. Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say also
to his point, Kerry, I think they're taking advantage of the people who don't participate in the electoral process, but they're taking advantage of it because they know people not engaged, people not concerned, you know. And, you know, Bob always makes a point to let them know, hey, y'all not even putting information out. But, you know, that's done by design, you know, keep certain people from being interested and concerned. We'll feed them enough just to keep them satisfied, and we keep doing what we're doing behind closed doors. And every 2 years or whatever the cycle is for elections, we'll just give them something to make them feel like we've done something, and then the rest of the time we're just doing everything else under the table. So that vote away, I do think that last vote away did, however, really shake up Fort Worth. The vote away, what happened last year, really shook them up. So this rush to change these maps and make them less inclusive and more leaning one way than the other, I think they really try to get ahead, you know. Just look at our state politics, how they changed the laws for voting, you know. Look at that. Right. So, and just look around the country. All they have to do is throw out a narrative. Once they throw out a narrative, get enough people believing in that narrative, which is a lot of mostly fear-mongering, they know people's emotions going to get involved. So once you get a person going on their emotions, they get scared. They feel like they're going to lose something. They paint everybody bad, the boogeyman, all this. And then they start just going along with everything, you know. So
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole other part of the bag of tricks, right?
Right, a whole other bag of tricks. Yeah, we're going to talk about this DA's race. You know, right now the Democrats have representing them Tiffany Hamilton Burke and Albert Roberts. This week, Tiffany Hamilton Burke came out with a video where she is stating that she was under attack by the Texas Justice and Public Safety Political Action Committee. She alleged that in 2018 and this year that they, it's a PAC, and that they supported Albert Roberts. She went on to say that they sent out a mailer to all the Democrats in Tarrant County. I didn't get one, y'all, by the way. She said, and it questioned her character and her reputation. She felt were both attacked. She alludes to the fact that these were lies, slander, and misinformation. So that said, and I don't know Albert personally, but he doesn't seem like the type of person that would run a dirty race. So I don't know, you know, I didn't see the flyer. I did hear her video. I don't know what to make of this. What do y'all think? Anybody jump in?
Well, I saw the flyer, and okay. I also recognize that it is funded and organized and written by outsiders, really big money outsiders. So I think that Albert has almost no control over what they mail out and what the mailer says. But if he doesn't denounce it, then this is where we allow dirty politics to keep infecting everything. I mean, That particular source, which is George Soros specifically, is involved in 50 major district attorney races across the country in large metro areas. So what do you do? I mean, he has the money to mail something to nearly every household that's impactful, and the mailer's pretty crappy and probably not accurate.
So are you saying that he has the responsibility to denounce the flyer or distance himself from the flyer?
Yeah, I mean, he gets to pick whatever he says or doesn't say. But, okay. I mean, I do think that Tiffany Hamilton Burke wants to keep a clean race and intends to keep a clean race and wouldn't proactively do this in reverse. But this kind of thing, this happened in the mayor's race. The mayor knew that what the Police Officers Association funded through Brian Epstein was dirty and nasty and typical slimy Brian Epstein, but she benefited from it, and she didn't condemn it or denounce it. And so this is where your problem anything is. I mean, how do you tell the billionaire that's putting money into your race,
stop sending out crappy ads, you know. I mean, you can do it, but.
Wow. That almost sounds like a certain person who I won't call their name because I don't want them to come after me, but a certain person who always seems to get into political races and makes a lot of noise, and a lot of people think that they pretty much influence political races due to, you know, the fact that they can slam people pretty hard, and they're very articulate and well-spoken. So, you know, again, do you distance yourself? Because downtown never distances themselves from the things that are said by that person. So I don't know about this one, y'all. Pastor Chris, what are your thoughts?
I haven't seen the flyer, but I do know Albert, and I think he's a pretty stand-up guy, at least from what I know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so
you know,
should he distance himself from the flyer? Should he denounce the flyer? What should he do?
Well, that's, he has to do something. You know, whatever he wants to do to distance himself or apologize or whatever he does, you know, that's, I think that's on him.
Okay.
You know, because I just don't think that, I think people are very suspicious these days, and I don't know if an apology would really work.
Oh, gotcha.
That's just my opinion.
Gotcha.
By the way, the wording in the flyer was those classic kind of half-lie kind of things. So instead of saying she's actually a closet Republican or she's a conservative pretending to be a Democrat, it does that asking questions. Well, what if it was discovered that she voted at Republican for 20 years? What if it's discovered that she's actually conservative? In other words, it was that kind of a smear job. It wasn't about some kind of like criminal act or character flaw. It was, you know, about being disingenuous in terms of politically. It never accused her of a factual act. It just asked those, you know, those crappy questions.
Wow. Adrian, what are your thoughts?
Well, like I say, Carrie, prior to Albert running, when he ran the first time, I didn't know much about him, you know. But like I said, Tiffany has always had a name that rung a bell, you know. I've heard her name, throughout the, you know, year over the years, you know. Tiffany Burke. I would say this, now, she states that they supported his campaign, you know, so, you know, that's open record. So, you know, you can pull a person's campaign balance or whoever's contributing to him. If somebody really wants to see if there's any truth to that, they can look at his campaign finance records, you know. And like was stated, one of our other panel guests stated, he said, really, he has no control over it. It's just a matter of, you know, which direction he wants to go in, you know. I think them both being in that, working in that field, the law office, they know each other, you know. Hopefully they have some type of relationship because they're both Democrats, you know. Hopefully they have some type of relationship throughout these years as they practice, you know, their craft, you know. So hopefully there's no bad blood between them, you know. But as far as these, before these political PACs, you know, they just like lobbyists, you know. You know, the lobbyists basically work for the corporations, which basically they all in politicians' pockets. So that's why it's so much, we know how lobbyists work, put it like that. So same thing with these political PACs. They only do things that's going to favor them. So they'll give to your campaign if you're going to give them something in return.
Wow.
Yeah.
Trust me, they've been looking for stuff in return. Look at our former president, President Trump. People can't be mad at Trump. People gave to his campaign and what? McDonald's, he put people in positions that probably didn't even qualify for those positions. Trump about loyalty. Trump about, you know what I'm saying? So that says a lot about these political parties. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing.
I guess I'll just say what?
I was going to say, what's interesting is we'd be well served by Tiffany or Albert if they win the position. you can have your preferences, and I actually favor Tiffany more, but I don't know anything negative about Albert or about his character at all, and I don't think anyone does. But the pack, this national pack, it could have waited till the primary was over. If they want to elect a Democrat or a fresh face or a person of color or whatever their combination of agenda is, having these two viable candidates in the primary plus this Larry Myers guy, all they had to do is wait and then back the finalists. That's the point. So,
wow.
You know, that's how much of a billionaire, you know, throwing money around this is. So,
these are big money outsiders is what you call them. That are supporting
George Soros. Yeah, he's running in 40 or 50 DA's races in large metro areas, and he could put $1 million in each one of them.
Wow. Yeah, let's talk about. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, that's the DA's race, and we could win some of the other countywide races too and make some change. And the best, what benefits the team is to help a slate instead of being crappy in the primary where two good people are pitted against each other. That same money could have been spent on the same candidate to get name recognition, to get voters out because they're motivated to vote for change, and then they could have picked which other candidates for judge or county clerk or whatever based on the fact that, you know, this really good DA's candidate's running. So I don't think they're doing our community or our county a favor by jumping in so early and doing dirty politics.
You're probably right. Y'all, this week, Tim O'Hare, you know, Tim O'Hare is a character to me. He just kind of puts me in the mind of Trump and George W. But he's been running TV ads. He's been running information on his Facebook page, on his website, in flyers about the fact that Betsy Price supported Black Lives Matter extremists. Black Lives Matter extremists. And he's referring to the protesters that were downtown. That's it. This week, Carol Harrison Lafayette found out about it. She was one of the lead protesters downtown. So Carol contacted Tim O'Hare about the actual, you know, videos and flyers and TV ads. And from what I'm understanding from Carol, Tim, you know, said, what video are you referring to? You know, I really don't handle that. You know, I have a staff. You know, they do the editing. They do the production, you know, I just kind of show up kind of person. And so he kind of distanced himself from the whole thing, did not acknowledge one way or another that he even knew about it. However, anybody that's been paying attention to Tim O'Hare's campaign knows that Tim O'Hare has been calling those protesters downtown Black Lives Matters extremists. So the problem I have with this is Tim O'Hare, in my opinion, clearly has his hands dirty on that. That's not a doubt to me. But so does Betsy Price, because Betsy Price is running an ad that says, I denounce those Black Lives Matter extremists, and I also voted against those that wanted to defund the police. So to me, in my opinion, it's not just Tim O'Hare that has his hands dirty on what's being said about the protesters that were downtown, but it's also Betsy Price. So do y'all agree with me, or is it just me?
One of your guests already said it. Said it's warfare, right?
Yeah.
I've been looking at who's running for attorney general against Bush. Her name is Paz or something.
Attorney general. Is Lee Merritt running for attorney general?
Yes, he's running but I'm talking about Bush, and she seems to be a Latino lady.
I don't
yeah,
know.
But, you know, if, huh?
There's three people in the Republican primary for attorney general.
Okay.
Yeah, a lady that's a Latina, George P. Bush, who's technically a Latino, and one other person.
Yeah, you know, I was just talking about Bush's commercial and that Latino lady, and I've listened to both, you know, I'm listening to both of them. And it seems like, you know, that, you know, one of them kind of twisted up some stuff on the other one. You know, and she didn't say that. She said just the opposite. Why are you spreading the propaganda like, you know, something like she can't protect Texas? And personally, you know, I'm thinking, you know, but that's politics. You know, you take what your opponent says and you twist it up and put it in a bad light, what a person says.
Yeah.
And it's out of context.
But the thing is, if he was just talking about Betsy Price, that's one thing. But I think most people in general would say the protests downtown were very peaceful. Nobody burned down a building. Nobody broke a window or anything of that nature. Nobody got into a fight with the police. So to call the protesters extremists just doesn't even line up with what happened downtown. So was he just fear-mongering?
Yes. Yeah, if you think about it. I'm going to twist this up. You know, who are my constituents? Okay, if my constituents are conservative, I can say, well, she did this with Black Lives Matter. It may be true and it may not, but, how, you know, it's just, you know, if he said it, you know, he's putting it out there like
that. But see,
yeah, plus
that tells me that black folks ain't even on your base. I mean, ain't even considered part of your base. You know,
to
put it out there like that. But you're not even looking for the black vote. Huh?
They're expecting Deborah Peoples to be the opponent, so they're both trying to be more anti-BLM than the other one. And that's the short-term play.
So you
say it appeals to their constituents.
Yeah.
Oh.
Their base. Yeah. And by the way, that base is turning out in huge numbers in Northeast Tarrant County.
Really?
The turnout in Northeast Tarrant County over races like this one for the Republican primary is humongous compared to the past. And it's several races. It's the Tim O'Hare County Judge race. It's the district attorney race. Those primaries are, you know, the Democratic turnout's actually pretty light so far. But the Republicans, they're having their own little war over the heart or soul of what Tarrant County Republicans are going to look like.
I think what I had a problem with, too, with Tim O'Hare this week, this past Sunday he did Bob's show, and a caller called in and challenged him on the critical race theory, which is something he's, you know, going around speaking about. And he seemed very agitated by every question the caller posed to him. And I just found that, like, so strange that this is something you speak about, but if anybody challenges, you know, your opinion on it, he seemed very agitated and very short with the caller and almost appeared, I don't even want to say this, as though he thought that the caller's questions were irrelevant and that he just wanted to move on to the next caller or the next question. He did not seem very tolerant of any questions about the critical race theory, even though it's something that he has gone around speaking about. And I told him there we were doing the show, by the way.
I kind of think. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You go ahead, sir.
Your turn. Go ahead.
I was just saying. I mean, thank you. It's all a conservative party line. If you think about it, even Betsy Price, you know, she had to bend because, okay, BLM, we're anti-BLM, so I have to straighten this out.
Well, I actually think Tim O'Hare believes a lot of it. So if somebody questions it, that's critical thinking. And you know, the word critical appears in critical thinking and in critical race theory. And I'm not kidding. And so how dare you question him? Doesn't everybody that's a Republican think exactly as I do? That's his mind process. Is why are you calling in and asking me questions? Everybody knows that BLM is a real, you know, radical, dangerous, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's where belief kills thought. He believes it, so there's no reason to think about it or answer questions about it.
But see, the whole thing, to me, the whole thing is this. I understand you got an opponent and you want to win. I get that part. But I think to characterize or mischaracterize people as Black Lives Matter extremists when that group wasn't even a part of Black Lives Matter. So that, first of all, they had no association with Black Lives Matter. And then second of all, to call them extremists, which basically, if they're not careful, could land them on the black identity extremist list, which basically you're being blackballed and considered somebody who's anti-police, you know, which could keep you on the no-fly list and a whole bunch of other things, on some type of list similar to the Brady list, but it would be a list that says these people hate police. And so I just think what Tim did was very dangerous. I think he owes them an apology. I think he should do it openly. I think he needs to state, I made a mistake. I grouped a whole lot of people into a category that they did not belong. And for that, I'm sorry, and I will take down every ad that says anything to that effect. That's what I think he needs to do. Will he do it? Who knows?
I think if he wins the nomination, he'll double down on it, especially if Deborah Peoples is the Democratic opponent.
Whoa. You think?
I think that's it. Yeah, and what's terrible about this is they have to talk about all this sensational nonsense because they don't have substantive policy propositions. They don't have goals or ambitions or a vision to make the county better. They just want to win and control resources.
Well, he's an attorney, and Carol Lafayette used the word sue. So maybe that will make him rethink it. But, yeah, that took place yesterday. So I'm not sure where that's headed, but I think, in my personal opinion, Tim was wrong. And if he wants to attack Betsy Price, that's fine. But to group innocent people into the attack and to the point that he called them extremists, that was not fair. So I told him tonight that we were talking about this, and he'd like to explain where he was going with that. He could do so, and you know Tim, he's probably not going to call in. But we thought it was worth saying, so we put it out there because I think that's dirty politics or dirty politics.
Well, I think in my experience, I've never seen attorneys that were afraid of being threatened of a lawsuit. They all think that they're the best. So they're afraid for their clients to get sued, but they're not afraid to be sued personally. That's the thing on that.
Adrian, you got any comments on that before we move on?
Again, most of these politicians are trying to they thinking about themselves, so they're going to say whatever is basically about them. So they trying to align the people with them that they know is going to go along with those various narratives without even, taking into consideration that it might not be true true or not. But they know they already got a lot of people on board with that kind of, the way of thinking they're thinking and doing. So we got to keep rolling with it, our former president, Mr. Trump, once he realized he was out on the limb, once he found out what was working for him, he used it to his advantage. It's like Trump was playing chess, while everybody else was playing checkers, But at the end, he ended up, losing out big because they were coming after him from jump, They were coming after him from jump. So, but I think Tim O'Hara, they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they are doing. It's just It's only, but it's only to keep those people on board with them that think like this, you know, because it's a demographic out there that don't even, you know, that thinks, you know, they think for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to keep them down, those certain donors, and they got to keep a certain group of people supporting so they can the spirit. Again, at the end of the day, it's all about fear mongering, you know. Keep the narrative going. Make people think they're going to lose something. Make them think their liberty's under attack. Make them think that, you know. So.
I agree.
But he has a responsibility. I think I think everybody has a responsibility if you're running for office to stand on what you're going to stand on. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be for this, stand on it. Ready push you forward or not, stand on it. Don't be flip. I don't like flip floppers. Oh, I didn't say this, or I didn't mean it. No, you put it after. If not saying nothing is just like like we said a couple weeks ago when the council members, Gina Bivens and Jared Williams did a no vote. Well, it's still like saying you're voting for it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
If I get a criminal conviction, if they say guilty, not guilty, no content. No content is just like saying you're kind of really admitting that you're kind of pleading guilty, but you just kind of at a lesser. You're just looking for a little leniency, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of admitting guilt, but I'm looking for leniency. You know.
Is it no contest? Is that what it's called? No contest.
No contest is like. Basically, that's what I feel. No contest is like saying, hey, you're looking for some leniency. You kind of guilty. Yeah, I'm guilty. But, you know, just give me a little leniency. You know, I don't want to say I'm guilty. You know, and then, of course, if I say I'm innocent, I got to be ready to fight it, you know, so.
Yeah.
But in Tim's defense, I'm going to say this. In Tim's defense, Betsy Price did not ever talk to the Black Lives Matter people or whatever they call them, extremists. But Tim O'Hare... in fact, let me back up. She denied having any conversation with the protesters, and Tim was saying that she did. So Tim went to a media outlet and found the tape where Betsy Price was heard telling the protesters that they were doing a good job and that she wanted them to keep up the good work. So, but at first she denied that she had ever, you know, encouraged the protesters, and she pretty much distanced herself from ever having associated even with the protesters until he produced the tape. So, again, I think Betsy Price did some flip-flopping. I think she on one hand, you know, clearly went down, met with the protesters. You know, they got her on tape saying, you know, to the protesters, you know, what she said, you're doing a good job, keep up the good work, keep it going, or whatever that, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of what she said. And then to get caught red-handed, you know, she may call Tim O'Hare a liar, but she lied too. So it's a lot going on with her and Tim O'Hare in the back and forth. But I guess the videotape didn't lie.
Hey, and I'll say this, Karen, think about this, you all. Y'all want y'all to think about this factor. Y'all know who our mayor is, right? Betsy Price 2.0, 2.7.
Ooh.
You can call it 4.0. Whatever you want to label Maddie Parker, Maddie Parker, she's on one. She's starting to really show her true character. She's been holding back, she's trying to be reserved, but, you know, Bob is slow. He just hit that hornet's nest. Bob keep hitting that hornet's nest. He just keep hitting at that hornet's nest and getting them. Oh, my goodness, Bob is good. I love Bob. Bob is, he's good. He's funny, too. But think about this. If Tim O'Hare becomes county judge, ooh, Betsy is the one who you say, they knighted, when they knight people in England, they knighted them. So Betsy, she basically knighted Maddie Parker. Tim O'Hare and Maddie Parker. I think it's gonna be some bad blood there. I think it's gonna be, because it's all about loyalty. At the end of the day, it's all about loyalty. You know,
yeah.
How much you agree with that?
Well, not only that, but this is why there's a micro game. Like, so far, we're discussing one race or one face off between two candidates in the primary, the general at a time. But the macro picture, the 30,000-foot view picture, is right, circles right back to that Fort Worth City Council about to fight over redistricting, where the vote is almost certainly to end up being 5-4. And Maddie Parker is going to be in the catbird seat, and she doesn't like it. She was hoping it was going to be 6-3 or 7-2 for a favorable map that's more inclusive in equity, and that having one or two of the conservatives vote with her for cover. What's happening is that Carrie Moon and Tim O'Hare are setting her up to fish or cut bait, because what the situation, in other words, they're about to position her to have to side with the more moderate or liberal wing of the council or stick with the four conservative guys. And she doesn't like that. And it is directly because the big macro picture here, Tarrant County is the center of the political universe for the United States. When Tarrant County turns solid blue, Texas turns blue. And that and that's been the fear for two cycles already, that Joe Biden won Tarrant County barely. Beto O'Rourke won Tarrant County against Ted Cruz. They're terrified that the county seats and the mayor's seat will flip to blue. And so this is the test. If Maddie Parker has a career future running for Congress or whatever else, those men, especially the Tim O'Hares and the Carrie Moons, are waiting to see if she's going to be a Republican team player or if she's going to be the peacemaker. And, I mean, I don't know what the best call is for her personally career-wise, but look at Carrie Moon specifically. He's out the door already, basically. Between the DWI judge he has to face next month, and the fact that he might or might not win his primary next week, why is he coming at in the midnight hour with the most radically changed map, with 40 changes that screws up nearly every district compared to what the task force and lots of fine folks recommended? Because
you know,
the Republican Party.
Somebody made a point about Carrie Moon, that Carrie Moon still has the option to not leave if he loses. So do you think maybe Carrie Moon is being so verbal because he really might not leave if he doesn't win the primary in his house?
Well, his map protects Firestone better, Michael Crane better. Getting the picture? Yeah. In other words, those changes solidify things. And it actually, in addition to, you know, the only white liberal on the city council is Elizabeth Beck. And it actually hurts her a lot. That's why she's being so forceful for the Chris Nettles map, because the Carrie Moon map cuts her out of the picture. It gives her all of downtown Fort Worth and the little bit of our neighborhood in the north edge of Fairmount, you know, near the hospital district. And she loses some of the lower income and some of the Hispanic voters and some of those older retirees that she relies on. She also loses a bunch of her personal base, which is the Jewish community in Southwest Fort Worth, with Carrie Moon's map. So he is not just protecting his district. He's making sure that the new districts formed north of Loop 820 give a unique seat for him, but it gives Harvey Firestone and Michael Crane and one more person the strongest base they could possibly have. It makes all their districts like 55% white or more, four of them.
Oh, I got to see this map. I haven't seen it. I got to see this map, y'all. Listen, okay, have you, anybody else want to chime in on that before we move on?
Is Carrie drawing his map sober? No, but I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Okay, we can go to the next topic.
Y'all won't mind. Okay, y'all, we're going to talk about the topic that got me in so much trouble last week when I talked about Judge Lisa Water. Pastor Chris didn't like some of the stuff I said, y'all, and y'all saw how he did me last week, but it's okay. I'm tough. I can handle it. But that said, this week she's under fire because Superintendent, I think is what his title is, Superintendent Jenny Castleberry, who I understand, let me start this off with a disclaimer, I understand Superintendent Jenny Castleberry is a really nice guy. So this ain't no hit at him. Is what he did probably out of not knowing, I'm going to assume. So let me be clear. I don't have no, like, axe to grind with Superintendent Castleberry. Don't. I understand he's a super, super nice guy. But that said, Superintendent Johnny Castleberry, which I understand is with the Church of God in Christ, he endorsed Lisa Woodard this week on a video. However, the video was taken outside her courthouse where he was less than 100 feet from a voting poll, which is not allowed. You can't endorse a candidate that close to a polling place. And I understand he held up literature with her name on it 100 feet in this video, 100 feet from the polling place. And then as a member of clergy, he can't tell others who to vote for. Now, I'm going to try to put this video so y'all can hear it. Hopefully you can. There's a little wind shear going on, so you might have to put your ear to your computer or to your phone real close to hear this. But I don't want to put words in his mouth, so I'm going to see if you all can hear this, and I'm going to start it right now. Okay. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I forgot the volume. Let me start again.
This is Lisa. Lisa is a community. He's also supported the neighborhood association in the neighborhood, and also supported the school, the churches in our neighborhood, and all the pastors in our neighborhood knows Judge Lisa, that she always supports us when we need her. She also assists people legally and financially in our neighborhood. It's early voting. We want you to get out and vote for Judge Lisa Wood. We need Lisa Wood. She did a great job in our district. It's great, and we want to put her back on the seat. Come out and vote. It's early voting time. Vote Lisa Wood. Vote Lisa Wood. We look to see you at the vote.
Okay, can y'all hear that? Please say y'all can hear that.
Heard it. Yeah, I heard it. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, he's standing less than 100 feet from a polling place, which was her courthouse. Was she wrong? I mean, did she know better? You know, she's been in the job like 10 years. Should she have known better?
Did she send him out there, though?
Huh?
Did she send him out there?
Okay, let's say this. You cannot see who's operating the camera, but it's outside her courthouse, and she posted it on her page, and she tagged him in the video. So clearly she has knowledge that it was done because she, again, posted the video on her Facebook page, and then she tagged him in the video.
Okay, so she did then. Okay, that answers my question.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. As a clergy person, you know, it's real slippery slope because, you know, some people say, well, you know, you can do whatever you want to do personally, but, you know, you can't tell other people what to do, that type of thing. But as a clergy person, I don't know if you all heard when he said to the local pastors, all of y'all support her. Y'all know she's helped us. So he's encouraging other pastors and Pastor Castleberry, Superintendent, listen, I don't have no axe to grind with you, but I just know that there's some paperwork coming behind this whole thing. I was made aware of that. And so with that said, I'm just reporting the news, just like Channel 8, just, you know, CBS, all the rest of them. And so, again, y'all don't – I know he's very popular in the community, and I've never met him, but I understand he's a super – how many times have I said this out? He's a super nice guy. So it's not about you, Pat Casper. I'm not trying to get you in any trouble. I'm just reporting what I've been informed about. So
well,
did I say I'm
sorry?
Saying,
hey, Carrie, I'm going to say, Carrie, you know what? In the political process, see, we all have who we – we want to support, right? So
right.
At the end of the day, he's supporting who he wants to support, and people support who they want to support. I'll say this. No knock on pastors in general, but majority within our community, a lot of pastors not doing anything. So let's don't do this thing. Like, I mean, him, he probably didn't know. He probably did know. You know, I'm not going to say he didn't know. I'm going to say he might be 50-50, you know. But with him doing that, see, that's what I don't like. That's why I never like politicians coming to churches. You know, I feel like keep that out the church. Meet on neutral ground. You want to try to talk to the parishioners, meet us on neutral ground, on a neutral ground. Don't come into the congregation, because most of the time people are going to go along with what their leaders, the quote-unquote leaders, is doing. If their leader is allowing this person into the pulpit, then 9 out of 10 their leaders are supporting this person. So we're going to go with this person because our leader is going with this person. So what that's going to do is anybody that respects Mr. Calfaberry or is in his congregation, and then you got the people who are not involved politically, but because of the relationship or how they feel about him, they're just going there and vote because he said so.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing if this woman is any good, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want nobody huffing. I don't want do what you do for the person you want, but what's her track record in that seat? Has she been working in favor of people standing in their homes? What's her track record in that seat? I'm just doing it like that. What's her track record in that seat, you know? Because you know every 2 years everybody comes out to do the dog and pony show. Everybody does it every 2 years, then go back into the stable for the next 2 years, and we don't hear no more from them. So I think that's just like you said. It's out there now. So now you got to answer for it. You know, I think like you said, I won't give her no pass because like you said, she's been in a position. You know, politics. When you get into politics, they tell you the do's and don'ts, what you can and cannot do. Try to avoid this. Try to avoid that.
Well, let me ask you this, Adrian. You ran. Did they give you all the specifics about the 100 feet, you know, distance between you all and the polling place when you were, in, you know, asking people to vote for you, that you couldn't go, you know, beyond that 100 feet? Did they explain that to you?
Oh yeah, they give you those bylaws. Yes, you gotta not only with the polling places, with your signage, how you place your signage and things of that nature, you know. Basically, they don't want you trying to ram what you got going on down people's throats, you know. Mm-hmm. Let people breathe. Let people have an opportunity to basically think without saying it. Let people think for themselves without y'all having to try to force them into an idea. But, yeah, they did. They had them bylaws in place. They had things that you were told to do or not, you know, that you were able to do or not do. So – but like you said, if somebody's taking notice of this and they bring it to the table, they say it looking kind of sketchy, she's gonna have to ask for it. I mean,
well, Pastor Chris, do you think as a pastor?
say what now?
I said as a pastor, would you have made that? Would you have allowed? Would a candidate have been able to get you to do that? Would you have known maybe I shouldn't do this, or what do you think you would have said if a candidate had asked?
I personally wouldn't have done it because
really?
you know as a pastor, you know, I don't know, you know, the rules used to be you can't endorse a political candidate. I think it changed some under Trump when Trump was president, but it used to be like, hey, you can't, if you have a person speak at your church, you have to give their opponents the opportunity to speak too.
Holy,
you know, so that would make it, you know, you're not pushing either candidate, because if you got three candidates running, we have to invite all three and give them the same opportunity. So I usually try to stay out of one candidate and trying to force them on my congregation. The only thing I do at my church is, you know, I make sure that everybody there is a registered voter. And I tell them, hey, you need to go out and vote. It's voting time. It's primary time, but you need to go and vote. And,
see,
you know, if I – go ahead.
No, I agree with you. No, I'm agreeing with you, yes. I'm agreeing with you.
No, I'm finished.
But I think
I'm finished.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'm finished.
Okay. So this is where I'm at on it. I'm sorry. Let me let Toilet Kazi weigh in first. Toilet Kazi, what are your thoughts?
Well, the Reverend's right that the tax laws changed notably to allow churches to do more political activities, but it's still certainly the option of the congregation, the ministry, et cetera. I don't like it because I think there should be a pretty clear separation. I do think that churches should encourage people to be active in their community and to register to vote and to show up and vote. I think those are good things. But I do think this goes right back to the concept of breaking the rules and apologizing afterwards. And both parties, some candidates in both parties, I mean, this is a persona thing. This is not exclusive to one party over the other. It's, you know, I mean, maybe they filmed the thing before or after the polls closed, or maybe they, you know, fudged and then they said, oh, we didn't realize we were 100 feet. But this is a pretty typical rationale that candidates and some of their campaigns use. It's really unfortunate. But pay attention, because Tarrant County, again, has giant mega churches that are conservative, predominantly white and conservative, and they have politics going on for at least half of their service. And one of the churches, that new Mercy Church on I-35, they purposely nominate or identify candidates to run in almost every slot across the county.
Okay. I think what I'm understanding that he cannot endorse her at all publicly. That's what I'm understanding. He can't publicly, and I don't know if I don't think he's a pastor anymore. I think he's retired, but I think, I'm not sure if he still holds the superintendent with the Church of God in Christ, or if that's an old title that just kind of, you know, carried on across the years. I'm not sure. But y'all, I was raised in Memphis, where it's the home of the Church of God in Christ. And I don't ever recall Bishop Gilbert Earl Patterson doing that. I think what I saw was he would sometimes let the politicians come into the church, but I don't think I ever saw him really endorse anybody. I don't think I've ever saw that. So I don't know. But isn't there some type of IRS rule for pastors concerning like 501c3s and that type of thing? So all of that seems like, I don't know, can be very gray in nature. I don't know, y'all. I'm just saying.
No, I think Pastor Chris hit on, now President Trump, he did change those rules. I think he made it more favorable to where they can get more involved politically, you know, churches and this, that, or the other. They can get more involved politically without having to risk losing their 501c3 status, this, that, or the other. You know, he made it more favorable to where they can get involved.
What form are y'all waiting to get that from?
You look at his executive orders. It's one of his executive orders he did. So you have to. It's one of his executive orders he did. One of his executive orders that it wasn't publicized, but it's done. It's a list. You go through his executive orders. It's one of them that he did.
Yeah, he did
something
before,
he signed off.
He did it before his second year was over, and
mm-hmm.
It was an executive order. He instructed the IRS to, you know, basically not enforce whatever the statute was and to allow it.
Right.
And it's because Trump relied so heavily on the evangelical base. He needs mm-hmm. It's like giving a blanket pardon to all the churches that were already breaking the rules in his favor.
Mm-hmm. is that how it broke down? He was just covering his mouth. I mean, when you get through at the end of the day, though, what happened to the separation between church and state? Is there no separation?
It was until that came out.
Okay.
I think.
And again, tonight, y'all, we're just reporting. I'm not picking on anybody. That's what I was talking about, four different races. I'm not talking about anybody. We're just reporting the news as it has come out this week. And I'm going to, yeah, I'm going to go to the phone line. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Kiri Hines, your host. And tonight we're talking about political tricks being played in these races. If you would like to weigh in on tonight's topic, the call-in number is 515-605-9321, and then press 1. If you're listening via the Internet, the number is at the top right of your screen. And, again, if you're on the phone line, all you have to do is press 1. We're going to area code 314-381. Good evening, you're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
No, that's no separation of church and state. The Constitution said that Congress, speaking to Congress now, shall not respect the religion. It's not speaking to nobody else but Congress. So that's just like the same thing. You shouldn't infringe on people's free speech. Well, it says Congress shall not do that, but other entities can. Like, for instance, in your colleges, what you put in your college newspaper is censored. In many of your high school newspapers, it's censored. So now I'm going to tell you something else. And blacks have privilege at this. Clyburn took Biden to the churches there in South Carolina, didn't he? Isn't that what Joe made the statement? You ain't voting for me. You ain't black or something like that. What may not say that at that venue. Hillary Clinton been to black churches and resulted to her southern drawl. I don't come too far to turn around now. Now, that should be an also. Everybody should take off a shoe and throw it at her when she says that.
But Bill Clinton went to black churches, too.
Yeah, he had his dark sunglasses on, blew a saxophone, looked like the Blues Brother.
Obama probably went to a few black churches. But we ain't just going to pick on Democrats, Republicans. You know, I'm sure Trump went to it. I saw Trump go to a church with, what was that girl's name? Omarosa took Trump to a church. I remember that.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous, though. And actually, that shouldn't be going on there because churches have a tax. Churches can offer their members and those who want to give a tax-exempt status to what they give because the federal government allows that because people would otherwise look to the federal government to do those things. So churches and other organizations that can acquire those exemptions are supposed to provide those services in order to keep people from flocking to the federal government from. And also it would cut down on the political wrangling that you see in favoritism. But churches don't do that.
Churches don't do that. But you know what? It is what it is. But, you know, we're just trying to understand it, you know, if it's fair, and do you get in trouble with the IRS for doing it, which I got some paperwork that says you do. And I don't know. It's a real slippery slope.
This is how it goes down. Every so often when a church tax-exempt status is about to expire, they have to allow what the IRS would allow for public comment. And you as a member of the public can challenge them being issued renewing that tax-exempt status, and you can bring these issues up. And I have seen where it has worked. When you go to a church, you go to their business office, they have to give you a copy of that tax-exempt status, that tax-exempt letter. By law, you, the public, have a right to see it. Then you go through the process of filing complaints against their actions and the way they're carrying things out.
But you know, in Texas, you don't necessarily have to have an IRS tax exempt status. You just you get it with the state, but you don't have to file with the IRS, the federal.
Well, I don't know what Texas laws are. I'm just telling you what the better part of the federal laws are.
Yeah, I know. If you know, some churches have 501(c)s and some don't. But if you don't, you know, you're not necessarily bound to, you know, having like a tax exempt status.
But I tell you one thing, if people can't get something for the money that they give them because they sure in the heck can't get it in the services, they ain't gonna give.
Wow.
No, that's true. No doubt.
Bianchi, stop. Bianchi will take us off subject every time. Thank you for chiming in tonight, Bianchi.
All right.
Listen, y'all, we're going to move on to Deborah People. Deborah People came under fire this week, and y'all, it ain't personal. I'm talking about everybody tonight. It's news. It's just, I don't know why I keep explaining myself tonight. I just feel like somebody's going to hit me in the top of the head with a hammer when I go out in public. I don't know. But anyway, Deborah People came under fire because the Republicans, let me find this letter, y'all. The Republicans filed on Deborah this week for going to a school. I'm not sure why she went to the school, but she went to a school. And some considered that a slick way of campaigning with the teachers and the principal. And so that didn't go over real well. And so for that, the Republicans filed on her for that. Let me find a letter if I can, y'all. I'm not sure what somebody said online. There was somebody by the name of Mendia Whittier, and she said Betsy Price did it all the time. And then she produced several pictures of Betsy Price sitting down in the schools reading books to kids. I'm not sure if that's the same thing or not, but she seems to have thought it was. And in essence, this letter says it was addressed to the Ford ISD. It was a February 14th event with Deborah People. And then it says that this person says, I am the chairman of the Tarrant County Republican Party, the Tarrant GOP. It says the Tarrant GOP is aware of an event held at McLean Sixth Grade Center, a school in the Fort Worth Independent School District that featured Deborah Peoples on February 14, 2022, the event. The event was promoted as an appearance by a current candidate for Tarrant County Judge. This letter is a record request pursuant to the Texas Public Information Act and all other applicable open records laws for the following material. So they're asking for information about her appearing, but it appears the event said that she was a current candidate for Tarrant County Judge. Did she cross the line or didn't she cross the line? Oh, y'all doing so fine. See how y'all doing.
I don't know, but you know, that's why I try to just follow the rules.
Yep.
You know, so nobody can, so it won't fall back on me or the church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but as far as Fort Worth ISD, you know, what their rules are on that.
Carlin Cosby, what's their rules? I know you know.
Well, I think that you got to be practical about this. I think that having a woman of color go to a middle school in Fort Worth and talk about Black history or politics or community engagement is a perfectly normal thing to do. And I think that these are 11, 12, and 13-year-olds, so they benefit from having a role model come to their school. None of them are going to vote this primary or this November. And so I think that the Republican Party is trying to manufacture a problem that's not real. And I agree, Betsy Price did it all the time.
Okay. Well, that, I don't know. Adrian, your thoughts?
Okay, so with Betsy, I don't, like they said, I don't know much about Betsy's tenure of doing this, but like they said, it's after that she did do it. Now, with Betsy Price, was this a part of her reading initiative that she had going on through Fort Worth? That'll be my question, you know. Was that a part of her reading initiative that she had set forth in Fort Worth that allowed her to go into these schools to, you know, to do this? With Deborah Peoples, I would say this. You got to realize, yeah, it was February 14th, so that's Valentine's Day. So in order to get the kids interested, they would have to get them some background as to who she is. They'll have to get tell them, you know, this woman wants, you know, and then it just goes from there. You know, it just goes from there. She ran for mayor and blah, 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 and then it goes from there. Then maybe start a question and answer type situation, you know, or, you know, who's to say what it did. But the thing about it is somebody was watching. That's the thing. I don't know all the ins and outs, you know, because I'm still trying to learn this political thing myself. So when I go forward, you know, I can make sure I'm staying stand to my integrity, you know, doing what's right and keeping everything in the light that needs to be in the light, and you know, being honest and open and being willing to, if a sword is in front of me that I got to fall on it because of something I did or said, I'm gonna fall on it, you know, take my lumps and not try to patch up my wound and say, oh well, you know, it happened because it isn't blame people, but people are watching. And maybe they used it.
I think the problem fell when she said, when the event said she was Deborah Peoples' candidate for Tarrant County judge. So that brings everything forward to today, not past tense, ran for mayor.
No, I'm saying whoever's over that school know what she's doing, you know, camp, they letting them know, hey, I hope y'all know that she's running for judge, which they probably did know. But as far as introducing her to the children, you know, to get a children idea of who she is, you know, because children might not even be interested in her. You know, we got this woman coming. Who is she? You know, who?
Mm-hmm.
Deborah Peoples? Well, first of all, y'all, she ran for mayor. If you all don't know what a mayor, you know, for the youth. Now, as far as the adults, a lot of them probably already knew who she was, you know, coming through them doors, you know. And my thing was, did she get any photo op moments, you know? Not only did she have a discussion with the youth, but did you have those paid photographers there, you know, to, take record of this. Somebody in that school, I'm sure somebody in that school tipped somebody off and said, hey, you know, we got this going on over, get somebody to look into it. So it didn't just, the cat didn't just get out the bag on its own. Somebody in that school kind of, you know, nodded at somebody else, and, you know, it just went from there. So if she knew she shouldn't have did it, then, you know, she shouldn't have did it, you know. But if she knew or did not know, you know. But you know how I've been on the fence. You know how I've been on the fence with Miss Peoples. I've been saying all along, why did she get in this election? Why did she get in this election? You're going to split the Democratic vote. You could have used your influence, your recognition, your name recognition to get behind another candidate. I'm sure would have pushed the Democratic candidate over. But, again, everybody has the right to do what they want to do. And we'll see what comes with the results next week. Tuesday's going to tell us everything, you know. So
I agree. Also,
you know what
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I agree with Bob. You know, because, you know, what was the reason she was there? It was like a Black History thing, and they had invited her to speak. That's different than going there to politics.
Right.
You know, we really need to look at the context. Well, why was she there? Oh, she's going to do some reading. She read this book, or she's going to make a speech or talk to students about Dr. King or something. You know, that's not politicking. And we need, you know, before they, you know, it's politics, but we need to find out, why was she there?
Yeah.
And I'm sure the school didn't let her. She's not there to politic. She's probably there for some other reason.
Right.
Okay. Oh, listen, I don't know. We still soon find
no,
out.
No, we don't.
Because I think,
we don't.
I think
but, you know, it's two sides to every story.
True.
She might have been. Yeah, I was there. I was invited there to speak about Black women in history.
Right.
Right, the,
you know,
but the
so
time is suspect. The timing is suspect, and we're gonna go. You know what? We're gonna have to let the next caller in, because I'm forgetting my phone line. 817-602. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening, Carrie, Marvin, Sutton. How are you?
Fine, Mr. Sutton. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking.
I was just about to tell them that you tagged me today on your finance report information about the Texas Ethics Commission concerning these people. Can you explain that?
Well, so the Ethics Commission governs the campaign finance report, and there's a certain period of time during the actual election cycle that you're required to file a mid-annual report, and then if you're in an election campaign, it's called a prior election or pre-election report. And so those are required, you know, to make sure that, that we're open and transparent about who's contributing to these election cycles. So I want to make sure that everybody's playing under the same set of rules. And I've just happened to notice that one of the campaign reports that we all use wasn't being filed. And so we want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to file and come in compliance with the report itself.
Okay. So what reports is she missing?
Well, that report has since been filed. It was the what we call a 30-day prior report, 30 day prior to the election, and they give you a certain time period where all your campaign activities are to be reported. And so the report is filed 30 days prior to the election, and that would have been due on January 31st. Wow. And so if it's filed late, I mean, you know, we all have times where we kind of forget things, but this was extremely late. And so on to make sure that everybody had an opportunity to complete the report itself. So we're all in compliance now. I think the report has since been filed.
Okay. Wow. Was it filed after you made that post today?
It was filed, I think it was filed today. If you look at the time, you can look at the time date stamp on it. The county mm-hmm. does time stamp most of the forms it gets to make sure they are properly and filed timely. So it was actually filed today, but it was actually due on January 31st.
Wow. Okay. So as far as this race is concerned, there's a lot of information concerning numbers not adding up and that type of thing. I've seen some of that online. Can you elaborate on that at all?
Well, so they don't normally use the normal accounting, per se, method when you're subtracting and adding. It's based mm-hmm. on the day that you accept the contribution. Now, you can get a contribution at any time. You have a certain time frame to accept those contributions, because all contributions are acceptable contributions. So it gives the candidate time to review and make sure they can accept those contributions and expenditures as well. So just looking at some of the reports, the amount, you're generally in a ballpark. It doesn't have to be a specific amount. But if you're mm-hmm. receiving a $20,000 loan, which would be more or less cash contribution or whether it's electronic contribution, it doesn't matter. That should show at least a $20,000 cash on hand if you hadn't spent any expenditures. Mm-hmm. But if you show a different amount, sometimes it doesn't add up, and you start to question, well, where's the money, and it's in there. Nobody really policed those finance reports. I mean, mm-hmm. the commission can take some fines or sanction against you if you don't comply. But most of the time, the filing authority, in this case would be Tarrant County Elections, doesn't really police. They give you a friendly reminder to file the report, but for the most part, they don't really police the reports, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do. You know, I'm going to say this because, again, and I've thought about this one, and I think I can say this with a degree of certainty in saying that there were people on the call. Understand that on January 4th, I believe it was, the 820 corridor Democrats did a Zoom call of current members, candidates, and I'm not sure who else may have been listening on that call. But understand that Ms. Peoples on that particular call said that she had raised some $800,000 for her campaign. And I think it stated, and I don't want to assume this, but I think it was stated that the $800,000 had been raised from the mayoral race, and that it all had not been spent, and that she was going to give some of the money to candidates in lesser races. And I understand that what is being said is that there's no accounting that shows the $800,000 ever existed. Is that correct?
I don't know if that's a factual statement, but what I will say is you would have to go back and compile all the finance reports that were filed during the mayor's race to actually verify that that amount was raised. But what I can tell you, cash on hand is not even close to that amount. And so you'd have to look at the cash on hand, and that's just a snapshot of the bank account on the ending period of activities for that filing period. So it doesn't show, it shows roughly around $14,000, a little bit under $14,000 on the mid-year report, and that would have been the January 15th report. And since there were no 30-day report, but there is an 8-day report that was filed timely, and that was filed on the 22nd of this month. It shows a little under $18,000 cash on hand. So we'd have to go back and compile the totals of donations during the mayor race just to confirm that figure.
Okay. And Ms. Peoples, if you're listening or somebody knows Deborah Peoples, I'd love for her to call in tonight because we really would like to understand. And I'm not picking on anybody tonight, y'all. You'll see I'm calling or putting out all the information that has been presented to me that we could verify. And what we were able to verify was that call did take place on January 4th, 2022. Deborah Peoples was on that particular call, and it was stated during that particular call that she had collected that kind of money. And so we were just really trying to verify, you know, where things are. And I understand three reports, she did file three reports as of today. So obviously she had kind of got behind with filing her paperwork per se. But we're just curious that was the statement on the 820 call or 820 quarter call a factual statement, or was it an overstatement, or was it a misstatement about the $800,000? Did you actually give any of the funding to candidates in lesser races? Did that ever happen? Or I don't know how the numbers, and y'all, I'm not a numbers person. I'm the first to admit I never took calculus. I never took any of that. So I'm a little fuzzy when I looked at the campaign reports that are online. I was confused about the numbers because I didn't see any of that money. Someone said that there's supposed to be a transfer form done when you have money left over from the mayor's race. You're supposed to use a transfer form to transfer it from the mayor's race, which was a city race, to the county race. Do you know anything about that, Mr. Sutton?
Yes. So anytime you run for office, there's a reporting authority that you report to. We call it filing authority. So let's, for example, in a city council race, the filing authority that you file with the city secretary. At a county level race, it's considered a local. It's filed with the Tarrant County. I'm sorry, it's filed with the election administrator. And in some counties filed with the county clerk's office. So in this particular race, you only have one filing authority. You never have two. So if you file for a different office that changes the filing authority, you're required to file what's called a transfer. And basically you're transferring one reporting filing authority to another, which means everything that you had on hand, cash on hand, all activities will no longer be filed with your prior filing authority. It will be filed with your, and once you do that, you file what's called a candidate treasurer appointment in conjunction with that transfer form. And so when you look at, let's say, the city secretary last report that was filed, you'll see that form in there. It says, hey, he's no longer filing with us. He's filing with the county now. And so that's normally required forms to basically say, I'm no longer filing with the city. But if you don't do that, you technically have to file with your previous filing authority and your current filing authority, because now you're still showing the only way you can discontinue filing is when you file what's called a final report.
Okay. I didn't see any of those transfer forms when I looked. So I'm not sure, I didn't see that form. So it appears then, from what I'm understanding, then the transfer forms were never done.
If you don't see them and they are not time stamp, they weren't done. Normally, when the filing authority accepts the forms and receive them, they time date stamp them, they will post them. And so if it's not been posted, it is not there.
Okay.
And it has not been received or accepted.
Okay. And this is where I'm at, y'all, on these races. We want to know everything about the candidate, everything that's available. You know, I mean, I don't want to know who they're dating and all that. I don't want to know that. But I do want to know about the finances, because those documents are public records. I do want to know, you know, their character. I do want to know what type of career they've had. I do want to know what kind of community involvement they've been involved with. Those are things I think we need to know when we're picking a candidate for office or elected position. And so that said, what we're talking about tonight is stuff that typically we would know or we should know. And so the things that are being questioned tonight are just things that people keep bringing to me, and I've seen this like 5 or 6 times. And I finally started looking at it, and I couldn't make sense of it. So that's why I'm bringing it up tonight, because I really couldn't make sense of the reports that I saw in terms of the 820 quarter call with the Democrats that was on January 4th, that money that she spoke of on that call to the money that I see on this report, they don't balance. And so I would love, again, if somebody knows that, for people, have her call in tonight, you know, because I'm not picking on anybody. Again, this is just, it's newsworthy. And so I'm just putting it out there because people want to know. And so, you know, Mr. Sutton's telling us what he knows about it, but I would love for her to speak up for herself if she'd like to tonight and explain. If not, you know, we have stated, or I have stated, what was on record. Downtown, there aren't any transfer forms for any large sums to that degree. So, yeah, that's pretty much where that is. But thank you, Mr. Sutton, for enlightening us on that. Is there anything else you'd like to say about your run for Tarrant County Judge? Because the race is, what, Tuesday?
Well, the early voting ended a few hours ago, so we're feeling really good about the campaign. And it's a great campaign. Make no mistake about it. Ms. People is a great candidate. She has the name ID. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the voters' choice in what direction the county should proceed in. Mm-hmm. I'm the only candidate that has governing experience as an elected official who understands the testing process, who understands board and commission appointment process, who wants to make sure you have a quality of life that you can expect, that you can pass on to your future generation. And I think the most important thing is we want to empower our community, Carrie. I think it's important that you feel empowered and part of the solution. We want to make sure we enhance the service that you receive from the county and make sure we improve the quality of life. And that's my goal for our county. And we want to make sure everybody's treated with dignity and respect, and they're treated fairly. You know, we got so many disparities that goes on throughout our county, and we're going to address those issues. And we're going to make sure that you feel that you're connected with your elected official, that you have a trust relationship with your connected officials while we're connecting our community back together.
Right. Well, y'all got any questions for Mr. Sutton before he gets off the line tonight?
I have one question for Mr. Sutton. I'll just ask this question, and I will ask the same question to any candidate that's running. But Ms. Peoples is not here. So, Mr. Sutton, if you are not the candidate for the Democratic side, if you're not the candidate for the Democratic side, could the Democrats count on you to get behind Ms. Peoples with your not only you as an individual, you know, because, you know, if you get behind it, everybody that's with you will get behind it and, you know, push the thing over to her. And I would ask
Absolutely.
The same thing of her. I asked the same thing of her if she was on the line. I just want to let you know I'm fair and balanced with mine. So I love somebody that's willing to support somebody else, even though they didn't get denied or whatever. But I can respect, that's what I respect in politics. Are you willing to get behind the other person
No, absolutely. You have my word. Yes, yes, sir. We'll get behind and we're going to move it forward, move the thing forward. But as a candidate, we do our best. We put our best foot forward. And at the end of the day, we should come together. And let me share a quick story with you. You know, in 2008, when President Obama was first running, I had a lot of great Democratic friends. I mean, we've been friends for years, and, you know, it was such a contested race that I lost some friends during that period of time. I got cussed out. And at the end of the day, I knew we had to come back and bring the party back together. And so we want to be respectful in this process so we can come back together. And that's the beauty of it. I have a lot of respect for Ms. People. I think she'll make a great county judge. I think she did a great job on as the county chair. I mean, we all have our issues, and there were some challenges that I pointed out. But other than that, I think she's a great person. This is a campaign, and like I say, we put our best foot forward. We're going to be critical of each other. We're under the spotlight. But at the end of the day, we're going to come back together, and we're going to secure the win for the party.
Wow. I heard you did a lot of footwork out there.
Absolutely. And it's not easy, Carrie, I will tell you. You have days where your feet are hurting, that you're tired, but you keep it moving and you try to keep it positive as best as possible. It's like having a second job. But at the end of the day, you feel like you made an impact in the community. You feel like you made an impact at the county level. And so we are going to continue all the way till election day. Will be knocking on doors till 6:59. The polls close at 7. And so our goal is to make sure you have access and opportunity to resources, and that we can empower you, we can enhance your life, and improve your quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, good luck with your
race. I hope I answered the gentleman's question.
Did he ask you a question, Adrian?
Yes, yes. Yes, he did.
Pastor Chris, any questions?
I don't have any.
Okay. Well, thank you, Marvin. And I think Tolikazi, are you gone? Tolikazi may have dropped off. I'm not sure.
I'm still here.
Okay. Any questions?
No, I got to visit with Marvin a little over a week ago, I think, so I'm in a pretty good place. I guess one thing, Marvin, what's your take on Democratic turnout relative to Republican in Tarrant County for the primary? What do you think?
Well,
happened?
Obviously it's almost a 2-to-1 ratio right now. But
whoa.
I think that because they have more contested races, and so you've got a lot more moving parts. You've got a lot more people that are doing get out the vote, whereas we have really 2 to 3 real contested races. You know, we have the House District 92 contested, the county judge, the DA, and you have a county commissioner race that's contested. So that's going to be the driver in the campaign. I think in November, the ball game will change. The strategy will change. But at the end of the day, the goal is to secure a win with the most voter turning out in the favor of the Democratic Party. And so I think the Republican right now will have a little bit more of a turnout than the Democratic Party because of just the contested races. And then obviously the cash flow that's coming in for those campaigns, they're able to reach more people.
Wow. All right, then, Mr. Sutton, good luck. And we will be covering the election night on March 1st. So stop by after you've gone down from everything and say hi to us. We're going to be on the air election night from 7:30 to 9:30.
Well, we certainly appreciate you allowing us to have a voice with your audience. I have, and thank you so much. And if I can be a resource, I would love to be a resource to our community as well as our county. So thank you again, Carrie, for what you do in the community.
Thank you. Have a good evening. All right, y'all.
You too.
So listen, y'all, Deborah Peoples, if she want to call in, she can do that. I see another caller, 817-617. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
Well, hello there. This is Antonio Twin Harris. I don't know if Mr. Sutton left us yet. But
I think we lost Mr. Sutton. You know what? He may be listening. We'll just go ahead and ask your question. We'll see if he comes back. I can.
Yes. I actually wanted to hear Zion's opinion about. I know that, you know, the dilution of Democratic parties when one run against another, and how you feel about that when with the dilution of one party, let's say just the Democratic Party, him being in the race with Peoples, and also what has he been doing previously, and what will he continue doing win, lose, or draw? That's what I want to know.
Oh, wait. And you know what? Can you explain the term dilution of the Democratic Party?
Well, what happens is that, of course, you know, I ran for city council. And when I realized that you become butt up against these Democrats going against each other. Let's say that the Democratic Party, if it was one in the race and one Republican, that's like one-on-one, the Democratic Party running against the Republican Party. But what happens is that when you have three or four in the Democratic Party, and now that dilutes the vote, and I want to know, was it a sense of dilution when she decided to run? Was it a sense of dilution for him when she decided to run? And if you could, more willing, win, lose, or draw, what would you continue to do for community and the people?
What a good question. Wow. We're going to see, and I'm not sure what else. I'm going to try to hit him up on Facebook and see if he can answer that question. That's a good question. So let me ask you this. You feel like there should never be two Democrats in one race?
Well, I mean, again, I see that when I ran, I had no earthly idea. Of course, we have a nonpartisan in city council for my district or the what I was running for, nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
But I seen how when I was introduced to the Democratic Party and I realized, oh, wait a minute, this is a red and blue against each other more than it is candidates running a race. So what happened was I realized that the dilution of that which I was in was so diluted to the point where, well, wait a minute, maybe we had a better chance if we partnered together and ran against that Republican side.
So you know what? Is ego too big today for somebody to concede and say, you know what, for the betterment of the party, you know, I'm just going to get behind you? Is that something that's not going to happen? Is that just, just not going to happen? And then who has the right to tell the other person that they should concede and get behind them? How do you make that decision? Based on what?
Well, I'm just asking. I was asking really about how one felt, because, I know and understand that you know, actually he was on the ballot first, and I just really want to know, you know, and everybody get a fair chance, and like you say, hey, it's up to her, whomever, but I was just wondering, you know, more or less how it felt when, because I know me running for city council, and especially if they get this so-called raise that they're asking for, which, you know, the money don't matter to me, but it will matter to others. So I know that I would be in a race with many others, probably more or less about the monetary versus the people, and, you know, on behalf of the monetary value of that position now versus the people. So it might be 10. You know what I'm saying? in that race simply because of that. And again,
Mr. Sutton is back on the line, so I'm going to let you ask that question to him. Mr. Sutton.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead and ask him that question to us.
Again, this is Antonio Twin Harris. Man, listen, again, thank you for what you're doing and what you have done and just simply who you are. My question was the dilution of a particular party because of high-powered or names or running in that. And I know it's politics. You know what I'm saying? It's simply politics. But I was going to ask you more or less on a personal note, how did it feel being in a race where, you know, you feel as though, hey, you know, it's me against the Republican side and what have you, but yet someone else be added and dilute your chances? And even beyond that question, the two-part question, with that being said, win, lose, or draw, what is it? Because I know a lot of people, when they don't win or what have you, they fade to black or they fade out. What would you continue doing, or what would you do or continue doing if that was to be the case for you?
So my life has always been a challenge. My journey is overcoming huge challenges. You know, when I grew up, we struggled as a family for food, housing. And so it's always been a challenge for me. And this is no different of a challenge. When I ran for city council, it was a challenge for me. It took me 12 years to get elected to Arlington City Council. I lost 5 races back to back. But you know what? I continued to serve the community in one way or another. You can look at my Facebook page, and you can see I'm giving out of pocket to help people who are economically challenged. And so I want to make sure they have a quality of life that we all deserve. Nobody should struggle. And so it's real to me. I'm committed to public service as well as community service. And I will continue to advocate for things that I think that will improve the quality of life in our community. So win, lose, or draw, Marvin's going to still be out, whether it's delivering boxes and food distribution, whether it's picking up trash, whether it's going out to school to talk to him about voting in elections, whether it's going out to elementary school to talk to him about opportunities as an air traffic controller and what are some of the courses that will prepare you in elementary for this particular job. So I'm going to always be an activist in my community. Win, lose, or draw.
All right.
Hey, did that answer the first part of the question?
The first part of the question. No, it didn't.
Could you restate the question?
Me running for city council and realizing that, you know, it's more when it comes down to it, for me, it seems as though it's Republican against Democrat when it all said and done. And who wins that? So, beginning of that, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like a rude awakening because I found myself in competition of not knowing and understanding. And of course I ran so that I could get an understanding about politics and how it works. But my question was, when with my running, it was 4 of us, Democrats versus 1 and a Republican. Right. So in other words, where this position, my position, was diluted because of the 4 and made it that much, more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel knowing, of course, you know, and I'm speaking on a, I guess, a personal level or whatever, being in a position where, of course, I don't know how long you was on the ballot, but I know you was on sometimes before your opponent, and how did that make you feel being in that position, and deal with the challenge of that? And of course, like I say, I mean, my thing is people gonna do what they want to do, and they have the right to do it. But I just wanted to ask you, how did you feel about it? Because again, like I say, for me,
it was a rude awakening for me to see how it unfolds, how it,
yes.
it really is. Go ahead.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I did file first. I did express interest early on back in June when I was having conversation with key people that are associated with the party and even some friends and families, you know, saying, hey, I'm thinking about this and let me get some feedback from you. Yeah, it does create some additional undue burden on you because now you have to go in a really competitive race. The positive thing is you're thoroughly vetted by your party because and the thing is I've been through several candidate forms. I filled out several questionnaires. And so it puts a strain on you and it drains you to a certain degree. So, yeah, I'll say, yeah, I was concerned, but I take that concern and turn it into some positive energy. Now, speaking to your point about your race on city council, those are particularly nonpartisan races. Even though they're nonpartisan, you're absolutely right. Partisan does play a role into it because your voters in your universe are going to be Democratic voters who know who you are and know your ideology. And so that's crucial. So it does dilute what you're trying to do. It's difficult sometimes when you have two people with the same ideology competing for the same number of voters, competing for the same number of donations. And so you split the donations up when, in fact, those donations could be used to improve your success of running.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, I mean, I know it was kind of like, to tell the truth, it was really a rhetorical question or one that would give more of a stance of where his position is because I know this guy and he's very sincere about his position and who he is. And again, my big praise to what he's doing. And hey, man, I'm in awe. I mean, you are quite the model for me, even in the political ring. And not just in that ring, but as a model, as a citizen, and a model as a man,
right.
Because I know who you are, and when I say I know
right.
who you are, I see the true you, not the politician, but the man, the character. So again, man,
right.
thanks so much for being on this call. Even shows character, and a lot
well,
of people. Go ahead.
Yeah, but what I will say is I'm currently picking up signs from locations. You know, we're starting to kind of move toward the election day thing. But I will tell you, when I got elected to the city council, obviously when you're running, you're focused on drawing and getting out the vote people who think more like you. But when you actually govern, Terry, you're governing down the middle because you have a universe that's going to be different from the people you're trying to get to support you, and you need those people in. And I learned that even though Democrats kind of came out and voted and some of the moderates came out and voted and some of the independents came out and voted and supported me in the city council race, I still had Republicans that I had to provide solutions to. They had some concerns,
mm-hmm.
and we had to address them and work together. So as a elected official, you learn to unite people and solve their problems, regardless of ideology. And that's the beauty of serving.
Well, thank you, Mr. Sutton, for calling back in, and thank you, Twin, for the question.
A sure thing.
Thank you. We're going to take one more caller, or did I lose them? 966, did I lose you on the call? Hold on 1 second. I lost the caller. I'm sorry. Okay, y'all, we got to get out of here. Thank you all for listening tonight. Thank you for the panel for chiming in tonight. Y'all, listen, these are the tough subjects that we have to do. All subjects aren't going to be easy. But when we're talking about races that are as important as these are, we feel an obligation to report all of the news, and that's just some of it. That's just how it goes. So listen, we will see you back here Tuesday night, March 1st, from 7:30 to 9:30. I think the polls close at 7. We'll be here at 7:30 from 9:30 covering the elections and the winners and the losers. Oh, yeah. All right, y'all. Good night. Bye-bye.